chapter 10. It's true today that God doesn't say that cursing is okay, that lust is okay, that sexual sin is okay, that killing of babies is okay, that cursing and vile and wicked life, that pub culture, that I'm just a party person, lifestyle that's against God. It's true today that God does not say that's good, that God does not accept that. But it's equally true today that Jesus Christ died for that. It's equally true today that His blood was shed on the cross for our sins. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You praise God, there's a loving God today. There's a God that's merciful. There's a God that's gracious. There's a God that designed you. There's a God that died for you. And I said already about Jesus Christ, He was despised and rejected of men. Jesus Christ should have been given the Nobel Peace Prize. Jesus Christ healed people. Jesus Christ brought people back from the dead. Jesus Christ restored a family. Jesus Christ helped wicked men become righteous men. Thieves become honest men. Jesus Christ changed their life, and yet the Bible says that they despised Him. And listen, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And I wonder today, would you be the person that would change? Would you be the person that would say, you know what? Jesus Christ loves me. Jesus Christ died for me. And by the grace of God, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You might think I can't do that. Listen, I can tell you story after story of people that at 20 years of age, 30 years of age, 40 years of age, 50 years of age, came to faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't grow up in Christian homes. They didn't grow up reading the Bible. They didn't grow up knowing about God. But they took a Bible, they got in that book, and the Bible again says that these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. You might be despairing today. Outwardly, you might be fine. You know, I'd say most people that walk past here don't look panicked. They don't look afraid. They don't look scared. They don't look like their life is about to end. But listen, we don't see those people at night when they're weeping. We don't see those people at night when they're sorrowing. We don't see those people when they're suffering in their soul, thinking there's no hope in life. There's no purpose in life. But listen, a lot of people are there. And I want to say to people like that today, there is hope. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And I just encourage you to seek Him. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me, if you search with all your heart. If I said today down in Princess Street Gardens, there is a million pounds hidden there in the ground, they probably wouldn't want me to say it because everybody would be there with their spade digging up the ground trying to find that, right? But I tell you today, there's more than a million pounds in this book. There's more than a million pounds in the Word of God. There is everlasting life, eternal life. There's nothing worth living your life for other than God. Let me ask you today, what are you living your life for? Are you living your life for your family? Are you living your life for work? Are you living your life for lust? Are you living your life for covetousness? Are you living your life for things? Or what is it that you're living your life for? Listen, is it worth it? You get up on Monday, you live your life for it. You get up on Tuesday, you live your life for it. You get up on Friday, you live your life for it. What, week after week, month after month, year after year. Listen, there's only one thing worth living your life for, and that is Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's only one thing you can take with you to heaven, and that is your soul. Your soul is eternal. Who you are is not your body. You can get a heart transplant, you're the same person. You can get a prosthetic limb, and you're the same person. Who you are is your soul. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. And your soul lives forever. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And every time somebody enters into this world, they enter with a living soul. That soul, that inward part of the person, the personality, and the mind, and everything about that person, that is going to live somewhere forever. The Bible says there's a resurrection coming of the just and of the unjust, a resurrection of the righteous and of the unrighteous. The unrighteous will be cast into hell. The righteous will go to heaven. Listen, you can be a righteous person today. It doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. It doesn't matter how you've broken God's law. It doesn't matter how you sinned against God. Your life can be changed. It can be transformed by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ, today, if He was here, He would do everything that He possibly could for you. You ask me, maybe, how do you know that? He that spared not His own Son, but freely offered it up for us. shall we not with him also freely give us all things? There's a God that desires to meet your needs. There's a God that longs to put his arm about you and say, look, you've lived your life as if I didn't exist. You've lived your life as if there is no reality about the fact that I created you, the fact that I designed you, the fact that I know you. You've lived your life like that. But listen, I care about you. I love you. John 3:16, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen today, do you know that God? Do you know him? Can you say, Ben, I've trusted in that Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put my faith in that holy God. I put my faith in that Son of God. I put my faith in his death and his resurrection for me. Listen, if you can't say that today beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, then may I lovingly warn you that without Christ you will perish and you'll spend eternity away from God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. Listen, God wants you to know it. Don't think that, well, I'll decide someday. Listen, someday will be too late. If the Spirit of God speaks to your heart at all, it's more than you deserve. It's not just this preacher preaching this morning. It is the Spirit of God, God himself, that desires to impact your heart, that desires to convince your heart that there is a holy God in heaven that loves you. Friend, are you listening to him? Are your ears open to God? Has there been a time in your life lately, maybe where you've been walking along and God has arrested you and maybe something good's happened, some grace, some mercy in your life, and it was just God reaching out and saying, you know what, I'm here, I care, and I'm for you. God is not against you. Listen, I can tell you today, you can mock God, you can curse God, but he's not against you, he is for you. How do I know that? When they crucified him on the cross, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, God knows today that you're just following after the world and what the world says, that there is no God. You're just following after the idea of false science, evolution, and what evolution says about there is no God. It's just an explosion that took place that somehow formed all this perfectly designed and wonderful life. And if evolution was true, surely today it could answer the most basic question that we could ask it. And that question is this, where does life come from? Because we know today, science says, life comes from life. Life comes from life. The Bible has the answer in the first book of the Bible about where life comes from. It says this, in the beginning, God created. God designed. You might wonder, what's the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to know God. When God designed us, when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that he would come down in the cool of the night and he would walk with man. God designed man for companionship with God. And you might be thinking, you might say to me, Ben, there's something missing in my life. There's an emptiness that's in my life. I try work. I try family. I try sin. I try drink. I try drugs. I try things to try to meet the need in my soul, but it doesn't satisfy. Ben, what is it? The answer is God. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, he said to the woman at the well, a woman that had five husbands, she had tried to satisfy her life with life, and it didn't satisfy. He said, go call your husband, and she says, I have no husband. He says, you say that correctly. You have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. She was living in fornication, but Jesus sat there beside her, and he said to her, look, give me something to drink. Give me some water from this well that you're sitting upon. And then he says to her, I have water to offer you. And if I gave you this water, the water that I offer you will satisfy your thirst so that thou shalt never thirst. He wanted to satisfy her soul. You know what? When God reached down into her life, she was a sinner. She was living in fornication, and yet Jesus showed care for her. He shared concern for her. She was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews, but as a Jew, Jesus Christ did not shun her. Jesus Christ did not turn his back on her. Jesus Christ lovingly cared for her, and as he met her need, she went back into her city, and she said, come see a man that told me all things about my life. And those people came out of that city. They came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ met their need. They put their faith in Christ, not because of what she said, but what they said. Friend, I can tell you today, I know for sure, if I die, I'm going to heaven. I know for sure that when I enter into the presence of God, that I can stand before Him, and I'll stand before Him. And if He said to me, then why should I let you into heaven? Then I would not say to God, God, I've been a good person, but I have been. I've been married for 21 years. My wife and I were faithful before we got married. We were not living in sin before we got married. We've got 6 kids that we've taught to fear God. We don't have drink. We don't have smoke. We don't have wicked movies in our home. But I'll tell you this, I am not going to heaven because I'm a good person. But I would say, based on man's standards, most people would look at my life and say, Ben, you are good. But my goodness will not get me into heaven. My goodness is but filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. My sin is defiling. I have sinned against a holy God. And if I stood before God and I said to God, God, I deserve to go to heaven because of my goodness, God would just say, Ben, have you ever lied? The answer is yes. Have you ever lusted? Yes. Have you ever coveted? Yes. Have you ever said things you should not say? Yes, I have. Have you ever gotten angry? Yes, I have. You ever disobey your parents? Yes, I have. And guess what that means? I'm a sinner. The Bible says about sin, sin cannot enter into heaven. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. God will not let a fornicator into heaven. God will not let an adulterer into heaven. God will not let someone that uses profanity into heaven. God will not let somebody that uses lies into heaven. So how does somebody get into heaven? That person must have their sin taken away. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that cares for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you've never considered the love of God, I encourage you to take the Bible and read the story of the crucifixion. Read about what Jesus Christ did for you. Read about how He would get up early in the morning. He would go into a desert a wilderness place, and He would pray, and He would seek His Father, and then tirelessly, day after day, He would get out and He would preach and He would minister to people. And as people would come to Him, they bring people that were hurting. They would bring people that were crippled. They would bring people that were blind. They would bring people that were deaf. They would bring people that had infirmities, and they would come to Jesus Christ. The children would be there with others, and the parents would say, I want Jesus to bless my kids. And the disciples said, Jesus is too busy. And Jesus, when He heard that, He said, no, I'm not too busy. Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. He desired to meet their needs. I want to tell you today, if you're a parent, God cares for you. If you're a child, God cares for you. If you're an employee, God cares for you. You might have stress in your life. You've got burdens that nobody knows about. You're carrying them, and you're trying to find a way to lose that burden. And the greatest thing that you can do is come to a loving God that desires to take your burden away. There is no burden today that's greater than sin. The heaviest thing that you'll ever see somebody carry is the weight of their sin. Their sin is a burden. It's heaviness. They get up in the morning, it's there. They go to bed at night, it's there. It condemns them. They have a conscience. You know, one of the great proofs that there is a God is that He wrote His law in our hearts. And it's not just in this book that the Word of God shines light upon truth. It's through that light of the conscience that God has given to us, a conscience that condemns us. Now, I'll say this. Man has defiled their conscience. Men have hardened their conscience. Men have seared their conscience. Would to God today that the Spirit of God would take that away, because without that, there's going to be no seeking after the Savior. There's going to be no seeking after that which can take the sin away. There's a God in heaven, friend, that loves you. There's a God in heaven that died for you. Do you know that God today? I'm not down here today because I love to step out in public and do something like this. If you knew my testimony, you know that the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do was stand in front of people and speak. But I'll tell you this, I would do this for those that need Jesus Christ. I would do this for those that don't know the love of God, I would do this because there's a God in heaven that loves you, that sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. And I know today that if Jesus Christ returns, the tribulation is coming. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. You know, we're very quickly moving to a one world government. That's what the Bible says. We're very quickly moving to a one world currency. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says there's going to be a beast, a false prophet that rises up, that's going to make himself as if he's God, and it's happening. The religions of this world are coming together, just like the Bible says in the book of Revelation. Ecumenism is happening. They are saying all religion is one religion, all gods are one God, and they're coming together just like God says in the book of Revelation. All that tells me is this: Jesus Christ is coming soon. Time is short. There's never been a day of more urgency or greater need than today for people to come and to find Jesus Christ as their Savior. Again, friend, if you don't know that God, you need to know that God. Someday you're going to stand before a holy God, and you're going to stand without anything to hide behind. You're not going to hide behind the government. The Scottish government likes to defend men's sin. They like to stand up and say, sin is okay, and you go on in your sin. And they get in the schools, and they're teaching our kids in the schools that there is no God. They're teaching our kids in the schools that there is no authority. There is no rules. There is no right. There is no wrong. But listen, when you stand before God, the Scottish government is not going to be there to defend you. The education system is not going to be there to defend you. When a man stands before God, they stand before the holy God that created them and that designed them and to whom they're going to give an account. And if you don't have Jesus Christ on that day, then you're hopeless. I'm not down here today to make people feel bad. I'm down here today to help people find Jesus. I'm down here today because I care. I'm down here today because God cares. Because there's a God in heaven that loves you. Friends, I can't preach all day. I don't know how long I can go here. But I fear to stop. I fear to stop because there's more people coming. There's more people coming. There's people coming from there. And everybody that's coming, I know this, that if they die without Christ, they'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. And there's a God in heaven that does not desire that. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Let me share my testimony. I got saved as a little boy, and I was sitting in a service. My dad was preaching on hell. He's preaching about the fact that it's a fire, that it's eternal, that it's separation from God, that the sounds that you hear in hell are weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as a little boy, I sat there and I thought, man, that's a bad place, and I don't want to go to a place like that. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew this, sinners go to hell, because that's what God says. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Nobody today would go into work and say, don't pay me my wages. They say, pay me my wages because I deserve my wages. Pay me my wages because that's what I've earned. The Bible says what you have earned by your sin is death. The Bible says about the end times when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and every man that didn't have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. As a little boy, I sat there, I thought, my, I don't want to go to that place. I went down to my dad's study, and my dad showed me from the Bible that I was a sinner, the punishment for my sin is hell, but that Jesus loved me, that he paid the price for my sin on Calvary when he died for me, that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead. And as a little boy, I bowed my head, and I said, dear Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin and save me and give me your gift of everlasting life? I can tell you today, I don't wonder if I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that when I die, I will enter into the presence of God because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. So friend, is that you today? You have Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? The Bible says about being born, ye must be born again. I was down here in Edinburgh. I was doing some evangelism. I met a man, and he was a religious man. He was a minister, and I asked him, he was Church of Scotland minister, and I said to him, are you born again? He said, I am, but you Baptists make too much of it. And I wondered this as I walked away. How can you make too much of something that Jesus Christ says, ye must be born again? Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know if you're watching Artemis, a spacecraft take off later this week, hopefully, if it works out, but that thing is full of jet fuel. That thing has something like 750,000 gallons of jet fuel. And if I was a NASA engineer and I said to somebody that was working at Artemis, I don't think it's important that it have jet fuel or rocket fuel, whatever that stuff is. Somebody ought to say to me as an engineer, hey, look, buddy, for it to get up, it's got to have it. Listen, Jesus said for us to go to glory, you must be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, today, if you've got sin in your life, and you do, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you die in your sin, if you die without the blood of Jesus Christ, if you die having never been cleansed, never been forgiven, never receiving the mercy of God, there's not a hope in this world that you'll go to heaven, because you must be born again. And so today, I just encourage you to take a Bible, begin to read it. You might say, Ben, I can't believe in God. I've never believed in God. My friends don't believe in God. How do I come to faith? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing.
So he's been here for a wee while, so I think there should be
faith cometh by hearing. There has to be an opportunity that come at some point to faith. How do I do that? Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible, begin to read it. Cry out to the God you don't believe in and say to that God, God, I would like to know you. I would like to learn about you. I would like to find you as my Savior. And just begin to cry out to the God and just be honest and say, look, I don't believe in God. I don't know about God or anything like that. But go to God and find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, I can't preach forever again today, and so I'm just going to bow my head. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for those that have heard the Word of God today. Father, I thank you for the grace that you give. I thank you for enablement today as I proclaim the truth of the Word of God. I thank you for those that passed this place and kindly observed the truth of the Word of God. Father, people have been very gracious today, very good today. And Lord, I just pray the blessing of God upon them. I pray, Lord God, that they find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for the privilege of having this truth to proclaim today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.